The red lanterns at Armagh's mizzen yard dipped, and Captain Baker put his helm up to windward. Sodden canvas flapped as the ship fell off to leeward, and the wind moved from broad on the larboard beam to fine on the larboard quarter. Hissed commands trimmed sheets and braces, and Brian Lock Island stood gazing aft, where someone with unusually sharp eyes might have just made out the loom of Darko Sound's headsails. But he wasn't relying on anything as fallible as eyes, and he drew a deep, unobtrusive breath of relief as Zachary Waste's ship followed Armagh around. One by one, the ships of the Imperial Carisian Navy reached the point at which Armagh had altered course, and one by one, each guided by the barely visible poop lanterns of her next ahead, they altered course in turn. Lock Island turned back forward. He stepped up close beside the helmsman, looking down at the illuminated compass card, then raised his head once again and gazed forward while rainwater sluiced down his face. There was nothing he could do now but project the posture and appearance of a man confident in his plan and its workings. He understood that, just as he understood that every sailor and marine, every officer and petty officer aboard Armagh knew he couldn't actually see what was happening any better than they could. In point of fact, they were wrong about that, but there still wasn't anything else he could do. They knew he was playing a role, projecting the confidence they needed to see out of him, and it didn't matter. That, too, was part of the compact, part of the intricate, complicated network of responsibilities, commitments, duties, and trust between him and the men under his command. "They can't see a damned thing," he thought, almost wonderingly. "It's blacker than the inside of Clinton's heart, and they have no idea whether or not I'm really going to find Harper's fleet for them. Just as they have no idea what's going to happen when... if we smash into one another in the dark, in the middle of a rainstorm. They're obeying my orders, following my plan, on the basis of nothing but duty and faith. My God, what could anyone possibly do to deserve that kind of loyalty and obedience?" He had no answer, but he knew he would do whatever it took, pay any price to honor that trust, to be worthy of it, even if he couldn't deserve it. He glanced at the nearer helmsman, a grizzled petty officer with a long pigtail, streaming with rain while his jaw worked on a chew of tobacco. The petty officer's attention was on the dimly visible sails, watching them, steering to keep them filled with the delicate touch of a man who'd spent 20 years at sea. He seemed to sense the High Admiral's eyes, however, and turned his head to meet Lock Island's gaze.
"Just you be worrying about finding the bastards, me lord," he said with a grin, raising his voice through the roar of rain on wet canvas, water sluicing across decks and runneling through the scuppers. "You find 'em, and we'll kick their sorry asses proper for 'em. You can lay to that, sir."
He grinned again, then spat a stream of tobacco juice expertly into the spittoon, lashed to the base of the binnacle housing.
"Your move,"
Cornelius Harper observed, leaning back on his side of the chessboard. He knocked the ash out of his pipe and began methodically refilling it, never taking his eyes from the board while Tybalt considered it.
"That was nasty of you, my lord," the flag captain said.
"Well, as the Archangel Chihiro said, we do our officers and men no favors by going easy on them," Harper replied comfortably. "The enemy isn't going to. Besides, you had it coming after what you did to me last night."
Tybald chuckled. His thrice a 5-day chess games with the Admiral General had become a firm tradition, and he knew they both enjoyed them. They were well matched, and the companionable relaxation, as they slaughtered one another's chessmen, had helped build their close personal and professional relationship. They'd talked out more than one logistical problem, discussed more than one possible tactical scenario across this chessboard, and Tybalt had been more than a little surprised by how fond he'd become of Harper in the process. Now he rubbed his nose, considering the trap he'd been lured into. He could save his queen, but only by sacrificing his king's castle, which would open the right side of the board wide for Harper's attack. But if he let the Admiral General have the queen, and use the move to slide his own queen's bishop between... He was reaching for the bishop when he paused. His head came up, his eyes narrowing, just as Harper finished relighting his pipe. The Admiral General looked at him curiously through a cloud of smoke.
"Arnold?"
"I'm sorry, my lord." The flag captain's tone was oddly taut. "I thought I heard something..."
Then he heard it again.